from BBC Sounds and CBC Podcasts.
I like to swear a lot. The following podcast is presented by me. Therefore, there will be swearing. There will be swear words and there will be bad language, probably regularly. If that sort of thing isn't for you, consider yourself warned.
Hello there.
Hello there. Sorry, I can't keep mimicking the accent. Ryan Broderick, thanks so much for talking to me.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to talk about a real hidden truth. You know, a real secret mystery of the internet.
Ryan Broderick might be the key I've been looking for. A BuzzFeed-shaped, meme-filled key. Ryan, so what's your involvement with all this? Is it true you started it?
Well, you know, in the way that anyone starts anything on the internet.
From BBC Sounds and CBC Podcasts, this is Who Replaced Avril Lavigne. I am Joanne McNally, and this is Episode 6, My Happy Ending.
I was on a trip to Brazil many years ago. It was my first time in Sao Paulo. I was looking into a story about it was kind of a sad, darker story. It was a homeless man who was killed by the police, but it went viral. And I was sent to Brazil to write a feature kind of collecting his what led him to this moment. And while I was there, I was doing other stories just about Brazilian internet culture.
Standing beside the water cooler in the Sao Paulo offices of BuzzFeed, Ryan heard about a Brazilian internet rumor that Avril Lavigne was dead. The real Avril Lavigne had been replaced.
This was just one of the stray stories that came up while I was there on the reporting trip. I was like, well, I have to write this down. This is wild. And I tweeted about it. And then, yeah, the rest is history.
You broke the story in America.
I think it's possible. I've always wondered, but based on what I can tell, I was the first person to translate that specific version of it into English.
So a couple of weeks go by, and then boom, the story's massive. It's a scoop. It appears in The Guardian. Vice were reporting it. The New York Post. A barrage of articles detailing how people were saying Avril might be dead. But Ryan wasn't the originator. Nor, as it turns out, were any of his colleagues standing around the Brazilian water cooler. For the originator, we need to get conceptual.
It's kind of hard to understand this very specific thing to Brazilian culture they call zoeira. It's not really translatable, but the best way you could describe it in English is this concept where when something starts happening on the internet, everyone gets involved and it gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And this can also apply to conspiracy theories.
Zoeira, from the verb zoar, meaning to joke.
You could actually translate it pretty easily into British English. It means to take the piss. It means to sort of just pile on, right? So the famous expression is the zoeira never ends on Brazilian internet. So when someone comes up with something funny, a million people kind of pile on. And the joke I always heard was a Brazilian meme always eventually turns into a pop song. Like it always eventually creates this mass pop culture thing.
But you know what it is? I mean, I can't stand the term, but it sounds like this side of the world, what we call banter.
It is a little bit like banter. It's actually very similar to when you guys sort of hijack the radio charts at the end of the year around Christmas time.
Gotcha.
You get like something really funny to trend.
Yeah.
It's a similar instinct. And I think part of the thing that may have gotten lost in translation about the Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory is that it is a little campy because there was this real culture in what you would kind of call like queer Brazilian pop fan communities.
Yeah.
Where they would make up outlandish ideas. And I think at the time I had compared it to another one going around, which was that the artist Sia had been kidnapped by Beyonce and was kept in a basement.
Excuse me while I jot this down immediately.
So the idea was that...
That explains the big hair. She's
yes.
Basically...
And that Sia was sending secret messages asking for help and that Beyonce had her in what was called a cachuvera, which is a small chicken coop-like construction that you keep Brazilian kidnapping victims in. And that was another one of these pop music fandom conspiracies that was going around the same time.
Okay, so the Brazilians are the queens of memes, the princesses of piss-taking, the baronesses of banter. But that still doesn't answer the damn question. Who started the Avril theory?
So many, many years ago, there was a very small Brazilian blog that had kind of outlined this outlandish idea that Avril Lavigne had been secretly replaced. The blog is titled Avril Esta Muerta, which is Avril is dead. I'm pulling up the page right now.
With the technical wizardry you'd expect from a BuzzFeed reporter, Ryan soon had me looking at the blog post too.
I love the font. It's very 2002, isn't it?
It's very 2002. It is still hosted on a Blogspot, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. Everyone should have a Blogspot. The best way to describe it, I mean, the background is like abandoned factories with like a woman standing in it.
It's not an uplifting place to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's from one of her music videos. I think it's literally just a stock photo of like a sad lady in an abandoned factory. And it outlines this gigantic thing. What's very funny is that it appears to have been updated since I last looked, because it has a screenshot at the bottom of its own Wikipedia page that it inspired, which I think is great.
So it has all the lyrics from her songs. It's unpacking lyrics. It has music videos comparing before and afters. Quite a lot of work has gone into this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this is an incredible work.
It's a real deal. Yeah.
This is great.
It's like a thesis.
I've always wanted to find the very original blogger who made this little webpage, but I could never track them down. Were you ever able to track them down?
No, you're my source, Ryan. I don't know anything. I assumed you'd have the answers.
Well, I mean, I believe at the time I spent a while on like domain tools trying to figure out like who owned the webpage and go all the way down. But even when I was in Brazil, I could never find someone who knew someone who knew someone. Nothing. It's a dead end. Unless it was Avril herself. I mean, the most important thing is that as funny as this all is, the blogger does admit that this was kind of an experiment, a performance art piece, maybe you could call it, to see what would happen if you put this out into the world.
As you scroll down, right to the bottom, and believe me, it takes a lot of scrolling to get there. As you scroll to the bottom, there's a paragraph that might be our answer to the question, why? At the end, what lesson could I leave with all of this? What I would like to draw attention to, people who read my blog, it is about how much the world is susceptible to believing in things, no matter how strange they seem. I feel like there's a kind of a moral ending to this, that they're kind of trying to teach us a lesson.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever stopped to think about how many fanciful ideas people believe without even realizing it? Just because they choose to believe it rather than simply accepting the more likely reality of things. It feels like it's turned into a critique on fake news. As I sat there reading the concluding paragraph, I thought back to my hastily botched attempt at starting a conspiracy theory. My attempt at testing whether rumours could be started without a kernel of truth and spread online. It looks like our Brazilian blogger was doing exactly that.
You have to wonder, like, at what point was this added in, right? Into this sprawling document. I do think that the person who made this clearly, you know, based on the ending here, where they write that you shouldn't believe everything you see on the internet, more or less, maybe feels a little responsible for this thing traveling around the world. The same way I do. You know, it's a very contaminated piece of content. Like, the more you pass it around, the more people kind of fall for it.
Yeah.
Most weird things you see on the internet are usually done on purpose by, like, a weird person who's just having fun, and then it spirals out of control.
Yes.
Like, I do think very, very few things are, like, actively malicious on the internet, you know, at a certain scale, and then it gets really crazy as it gets bigger and spreads.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that the internet is like a place where people can be silly and people can like make jokes, and then the jokes stop being jokes. That's the problem.
Yeah, of course, because it's like the way I started calling someone babe in an ironic way, and now I actually use it as a term.
It sticks. It starts to feel good, and then you're like, uh-oh, I'm a babe person now.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm just really curious. I'm pulling this up in the Internet Archive because I'm curious if we can find out when that was added, because I don't know if that was in the original version.
There is, it turns out, a magical internet tool called the Wayback Machine. You can take a website and then rewind the clock on it. Essentially, it takes a snapshot of the website from, say, 2012.
Oh, okay. I have some great reporting for your show right now. In the earliest version of the Avril is Dead blog post, the ending does not appear. The little lesson does not appear as of 2012.
Well, I guess that makes sense, because the original idea was that people would believe it. So if it has a lesson at the end warning people about fake news, they're not going to, you know, kind of biting yourself in the foot.
based on, you know, the time that I've spent on the internet over the years, I'm going to guess that this person made this thing, did not think about what would happen if it went viral. It went way too viral and then decided, actually, this was a big performance art piece,
yeah.
Which is, I feel like, a very typical trajectory for these kinds of things.
I'm surprised they haven't come out to take credit for it. I would.
I guarantee you they're scared of being sued by Avril Lavigne.
Really?
I guarantee that is like part of the reason is that
maybe.
Whoever this was, because like, I imagine this was like some kid in 2011 came up with a funny thing or genuinely maybe believed it. It went viral, way too viral on a scale they didn't ever imagine.
I love the journey of this. I love that this person has obviously healed themselves. Maybe they've got into meditation. They've come back with a fresh angle. But I genuinely think they need to come out and get their Nobel Prize for Zuera.
I'm just impressed they were able to log back into a blog spot after all of those years. That's such impressive password management. That's amazing.
Yeah. Did you ever think there was any truth to it?
No. Well, you know, you look at the photos and you say, well, no, of course not. I think Avril Lavigne is the same Avril Lavigne. I think what it is, and if I can get really high-minded, if you allow
yes.
me to get real high-minded with this, I do think that people get naturally suspicious when they spend too much time on the internet. They're bombarded
yeah.
with images. A famous person, you know their face really well, but they're a person. They age. They change over time. And I think when you're just sitting alone on the internet and you're looking at too many images of Avril Lavigne one night, I think it becomes really easy to create a conspiracy theory rather than just accept that she's someone who has aged 30 years, let's say, in the public eye, which is probably what actually happened.
So if you look at the Paul is dead conspiracy theory, the idea that Paul McCartney died in a car crash in 1966 and was replaced by a lookalike who also very helpfully had his voice and his musical talent, it's a literalization of the kind of fear that the Beatles changed.
Speaking to Ryan reminded me about the chat I had with John Elledge and Tom Phillips. You heard them in the last episode explaining the strange history of conspiracy theories.
Like, if you kind of look at the Beatles in 1963, they're basically what we now call a boy band. There's the lovable mop tops next door. You wouldn't mind your daughter marrying one, even if you want them to get a haircut. By the end of the 60s, they are clearly taking shed loads of drugs and making psychedelic music and are kind of part of the Cultural Revolution. And that's sort of scary.
As my journey was coming to a close, I had another big unanswered question. Why did I believe the things I believed? Why did certain Avril fans believe she had died and been replaced?
The idea that the Beatles had changed because like their generation had changed kind of gets projected onto the idea, well, it's because they're literally not the same people.
So it's a coping mechanism for change.
So that's exactly what it is. I mean, like, if you kind of think of it the other way around, you instead think of the many theories that attach to people who have died, the idea that Elvis is still alive, possibly living on Cuba or wherever it is. I think that is very much a coping mechanism. Death is one of the most terrifying and inexplicable things of all. The idea that someone can just wink out of existence in a way that, you know, despite this having been with our species since the beginning, it's quite difficult to get your head around. So in some ways, I think it is an attempt to kind of like reassure yourself about that. There's like, oh, he's not really dead. He's just outside. He's just over there.
Because we consider celebrities like gods, that it's kind of hard to get your head around the fact that they will succumb to something as normal as death. So we try and keep them alive on islands.
Yeah, exactly. These kind of like godlike figures have to have like godlike stories. And the idea that Elvis might have just had a heart attack on the toilet after eating too many cheeseburgers, it doesn't fit with the myth.
Doesn't fit. It's not a way to go.
Well, it sounds like I can think of worse ways to go, but that's another conversation we're having right now. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like the right ending to that kind of story of superstardom.
So instead of just accepting that Avril Lavigne grew up and maybe her style changed, which is too hard to accept for people who are proper, like, balls deep into fandom, they're like, well, that I'm not accepting that. She's dead. The person now presenting as Avril Lavigne is not Avril Lavigne. It is a fake person. It is a body double. Avril is dead. The Avril that I know is dead. So I'm just going to make sure she's really dead.
But like, imagine if we all started doing this in our personal lives and like, you know, if you kind of grew apart from someone you're in love with, it's like, well, it's not just that we grew in different directions. So she was literally replaced by a lookalike. And that's why she didn't love me anymore.
It would make things a lot easier, I will say. Like, it does take the rejection out of it, doesn't it? It takes the sting out of it if you're like, well, they're actually, they've been replaced by someone else. Here's John's colleague, Tom Phillips.
It's a well-known paranoia as well. Like, parents have it about their children. You know, like, sort of the changeling myth is a really, really old one that goes across many cultures. Like, it's like, oh no, my child isn't my child anymore. It's, you know, it's a really, really common thing.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing that surprises me is Taylor Swift literally said in a song that the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. She's dead. And yet this hasn't actually prompted any Taylor Swift is a replacement conspiracy theories that I'm aware of. So I wonder if by owning it and actually incorporating it into her body of work, Taylor has somehow managed to nullify the conspiracy theories.
Maybe Avril's next album should go in fully on the theory. I want hints galore. Take away another inch or two of height. Start speaking and singing with a slight southern twang. Start wearing cowboy boots. Raise some eyebrows. And give Melissa a damn writing credit.
One of the major attractions of conspiracy theories is that they flatter you. You know the truth.
Yeah.
When other people don't.
You feel like you're more intelligent. You're like, oh, you're just accepting the information you've been given. I'm doing the research.
And of course, you know, in the music world, in the world of fandom, that is a hugely attractive thing. You know, like, I'm a better fan because I know this. You don't.
Another one is like often people who, particularly in the internet age, people who kind of get really into a conspiracy theory, often if they kind of give it up, that means saying goodbye to the friends and social network it has brought them.
Yes.
That's obviously a really hard thing to do. I mean, that's just one of the many ways in which I think becoming a conspiracist is very much like becoming a Liberal Democrat.
Big sense of community. It turns out when you want to believe something, you'll desperately cling to information and points of view that back up that position, while ignoring opinions and evidence that contradicts it. Listening back to some of my interactions, I think I've been quite guilty of this. Have you heard the rumour about Avril Lavigne?
Oh, what, the one where she died in like 2003 or something?
Yeah.
Complete, yeah, nonsense.
I haven't heard that. Maybe you spend more time on the internet than I do.
No, but I don't think she would do that.
Replaced by a body double, this is AI, you mean, this kind of thing? Yeah, sure, I firmly believe that, right?
But none of that fit into the narrative I was chasing. They were in on it too, I thought.
Before we continue, time for a quick break.
My name is Annie McManus.
And my name is Nick Grimshaw.
How long have we known each other, babe?
Probably 20 years now.
And in that time, we've always worked in and around music, right?
We have.
So it kind of makes sense that we do a podcast about it.
It sounds like it's been 20 years in the making. It's not Avatar for podcasts, basically, but it is good.
So we put the world to rights with regards to music.
It's all the stuff that you'd want to chat to your mate about over a pint.
Brand new Sidetracked with us, Annie and Nick. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now, where were we? Your book is literally titled A History of Bollocks Theories and How Not to Fall for Them. So can you give me some advice for the future? The authors, John Elledge and Tom Phillips. For example, when the Taylor Swift replacement theory inevitably comes around, how am I going to avoid falling into a similar rabbit hole that I did with Avril?
I think the best thing you can do to avoid falling down the rabbit hole is basically try and falsify your own arguments. The scientific method to get really pretentious for a moment is basically, it's not based on trying to prove something, it's based on seeing if you can disprove it. And if you can't, it is probably true.
Okay.
I think the same applies to conspiracy theories. In the same way that you might want to undermine the kind of received narrative, you should apply that kind of logic to your own theories and see if they stand up.
The other thing is really actually do take a moment to check things out. Lots of conspiracy theories are based on false claims. So it's always worth double checking. If you're told something is true, don't take that at face value. In the same way as you wouldn't take the official narrative at face value, if someone tells you, oh yeah, look, there's this information over here, look, this proves it. Does it? And finally, honestly, go for a walk. The moment you feel something is kind of taking over, turn off, go for a walk, chat to a friend, just back away for a little bit, because it's when you're kind of in the heat of the moment, when you're going down that rabbit hole, when you're going like, I'm so close to finding the truth, that's when you're going to end up fooling yourself.
Advice heeded. I went for a stroll. So I just popped out for one of those head-clearing walks, and I was thinking back to what Ryan was saying about the original blog post detailing the Avril theory, and I thought, I don't remember seeing Melissa's name on the post. At no point did they mention Melissa Vandella as the replacement. I even just checked now on my phone, and the name, it's not there. The name's not there. So now I'm thinking, where did the name come from? So talk to me about the Melissa element of it all. I called Ryan again just to check. So she her name isn't mentioned in the original blog post, and you don't mention her either. But a lot of the stuff that I read, she's very much part of the story that Ava was replaced with this body double called Melissa.
Right. She was not in the original version that I saw. I've become aware of Melissa. And that came later and by somebody else, somewhere else.
What? Well, then who the hell is Melissa? From back in front of my laptop for one last deep dive to try and find this Melissa woman. And I've some leads now, and I've more tools, and I've more experience, but Google is of no help. If you search Melissa's name, nothing comes up. Like, nothing. Like, loads comes up, obviously, but not what I need. So I need to be smarter about this. Savvier. Hours passed. Well, 1 hour. Okay, 20 minutes passed. But it was a very focused 20 minutes. Sharp. I think I might have found her. I followed this completely obscure Twitter thread and landed on something kind of interesting. I think I found Melissa. I think I found Melissa. I think I found Melissa. Garoud, hello.
Hello.
How are we?
I'm good.
Good. I brought you back to the original place we started this journey together.
I feel like you've been on a journey and I've been chilling with my cat.
Everywhere I went, you were there in spirit.
Oh.
Spitting on me from the ceiling. Taking me down from the edge. Anyway, I have updates.
Have you found Avril's killer?
I kind of, sort of, no.
Beyond reasonable doubt?
Beyond reasonable doubt. I wouldn't call it reasonable. I mean, I wouldn't call any of this reasonable, would you? But I have found the origin, but not the person. That's a bigger question. Let me take you back to the blogspot era. Do you remember those days?
A gentler time. Did you ever have a blog?
Not really. I think I set one up and then just never updated it. Like I do. I've no follow through. Did you have a blog?
I did, yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't write anything interesting in it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, it was basically teenage diary on the internet for the world to see.
Oh, yeah. No shame in that game.
Yeah, but I was late 20s. It was either really, really boring or really, really dark. And then in the back of it, there was loads of pictures of Adam Rickett with his top off.
Adam Rickett, English singer, soap star and former pinup boy. No offence, Adam. Anyway, this blog in particular is titled Avril Está Morta. Ooh. I know. How's your Portuguese?
Portugal is the killer Portuguese.
Brazilian.
Oh, how tropical. So my assumption is that it means Avril is dead.
Bing, bing. Well done. Avril is Dead was first posted on the 6th of May, 2011. So that's the date this whole theory started. It was 8 years after Avril supposedly died, so word did not travel fast. What I do know about the author, very little to be honest. I've really tried. It could be a male journalism student called JL, but that's just what it said on Blogspot. But I think the whole thing about Blogspot is being anonymous anyway, so I kind of have to take that with a pinch of salt.
Okay, yeah, they were probably afraid of getting sued. And maybe you should be afraid of getting sued.
That's what Ryan said. Is it defamation to say someone's dead when they're not dead? I mean, I don't know. Kind of is. I mean, it would interrupt their professional flow.
But I feel I should congratulate you because I think you are a proper journalist now.
Thank you. Do you think Louis III would be proud?
Of course he would.
Aww. Anyway, I haven't shown you my trump card yet. I've got a big scoop.
Go on.
So you remember one of the key pieces of evidence was the photo of Avril with Melissa written on her hand?
Remind me about that now.
The assumption was that she was trying to give out a sign that she was Melissa or has been replaced by Melissa, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, yeah.
I did a lot of digging. and I found the original tweet. Now, because you don't have the journalistic skills that I do, I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
This is a post from AvrilL.org. So it's this really popular Avril Lavigne fan site. It's the origin of the Melissa photo. So the caption reads, "Thanks Avril Lavigne for the coolest photo. So glad the Avril Foundation reached its fundraising goal." Now, scroll down and read some of the comments.
"So cool, Melissa. That is the greatest photo ever. OMG, is that your name written in her hand? Wait, Melissa runs the Avril site?"
Yes. So Melissa is the anti-hero in this whole thing. She's just a big fan of Avril's. So she won a competition to have her name written on Avril's hand, and that's the prize. So this photo is just a competition prize for a woman called Melissa, who's big into Avril.
Wait, what do we know about Melissa?
Well, she won't reply to my DMs, but no one does, so I'm used to that. She loves Avril Lavigne. She lives in Canada. She was born in 1988, so similar age to Avril, but most importantly, she looks nothing like Avril. They're basically polar opposites. Here's a photo with the two of them together. I mean, nothing alike.
They couldn't look more different.
No, they're like chalk and cheese.
And yeah, and Melissa's taller.
How disappointing.
I feel like I came into this very skeptical.
Mm.
And then I felt you won me over.
Yeah, I think I had you for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I could see it in your eyes.
And I really loved that 3 minutes.
I know.
The world was just more interesting.
It's nice to believe in something. We've lost God. This was my replacement.
So go on then. Answer the question. Who replaced Avril Lavigne?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, a bored and very creative teenager from somewhere in Brazil hypothetically replaced Avril.
What an anticlimactic answer to such a pressing question. What now?
Well, I don't know. I think I just need to present my evidence to Avril. I need to speak to Avril.
To apologise?
Well, actually, yeah, okay. That wasn't my first priority, but yeah, I probably do owe her a little apology. A little one.
And thank you, Garoud, for keeping me grounded through all of this?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Garoud, for keeping me grounded.
You're welcome.
So I'm back in Napanee, which is where Avril started her journey. So it seemed fitting that I finished my journey in Napanee, plus at a gig down the road. But I feel it's nice to just be in her presence, even though she's not present. I knew that Avril had not been back to Napanee for a while, but my hope was if I posted a letter to her childhood home, it would somehow get back to her. I know my logic is flawed, but crazier things have happened, right? You never know. Maybe she's listening to me now. Hi, Avril. She's kind of my generation. Do you know what I mean? So we contact via pen and paper. Well, we did back in the day. And that's the other thing. It'll be nostalgic for her to read something. And I did a lot of like bubble hearts and stuff like that. And like happy faces on the eyes. I'm going to read it for you now. Okay? You ready? Dear Avril Lavigne, I hope this letter finds you well. Or indeed finds you at all in this life or the next. My name is Joanne McNally and I've been on a wild ride entirely based on the suggestion that you don't actually exist. And now I want to tell you all about it. Years ago, someone mentioned to me that you were dead, that the punk icon that is Avril Lavigne had died and been replaced by a lookalike called Melissa. I believed it. Kind of. Like the way I believed weight loss shakes actually had maggots in them who eat your fat off. That kind of thing. Someone told me you got shorter, your voice had changed, and even your moles had been moved, which could have been a melanoma issue, but let's face it, you don't look like a tanner. But then I went looking for evidence. I spoke to voice experts, to handwriting experts. I dove deep into the weird world of conspiracy theories, and I realised you're actually still alive. I know that won't be news to you, Avril, but I think I do also have something else to add to this story. But more than that, I'd actually just love a chat. I've written to your agent, I've DM'd you on Insta, which I'm sure you haven't ignored, you've just not seen it, there has been no tick. And finally, I'm writing you a letter. As I say, I want to speak to you. I want to apologise face to face, not only for believing, albeit temporarily, that you were dead, but also for not understanding what you mean to so many people. I have to be frank with you, Avril. I was not a dogged fan. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't not a fan. I just wasn't anything. I don't really listen to music at all, to be honest, Avril. I'm more a white noise girl, which I know is odd, but I try not to think about it too much in case I unearth a mental health issue that won't be re-earthed. But my investigation into your personal conspiracy theory has given me a newfound respect for you and your music. To see you come through this near-death experience and survive the sinkholes of fame, you are a marvel, and I respect it. I guess what I'm saying, you look happy, Av. You wear success well. You're an inspiration. To paraphrase you, all this time you weren't pretending. I hope you got your happy ending. So, what are my demands? Well, two things. Firstly, I'd love my very own Melissa photo. I want Joanne written on your hand in permanent marker, and I want the photo on my wall. Please. And secondly, arguably more important, I'd like you to get back to me. You've survived so much in this world, Avril. Would it kill you to reply? Hit me up on Insta, please. I have a blue tick. You'll find me there. I'm legit. I'm somebody too. I'm at Joanne McNally Comedy, and I will be waiting patiently, Avril, listening to Love Sucks. Because it does. Yours gratefully, in anticipation from the BBC and CBC, Joanne McNally. Mwah! If she doesn't reply to that, she's a little bitch. The ball is in your court now, Avril.
I'm kidding, Avril. I know you're little, but you're not a bitch. Throughout this series, I've grown, thanks to you. I've more journalistic rigour and more appreciation of what you brought to the world. And I've learned how easy it is to fall into the spell of conspiracy theory thinking. I now feel ready to discern the real from the fake. And you're real, Avril. You're real. What I'm saying is, I'm ready for season two of Joanne McNally Investigates, because I have very good reason to believe that Tupac is alive and living in Serbia. I have my sources and they're very reliable. Who Replaced Avril Lavigne is produced by What's the Story Sounds for BBC Sounds and CBC Podcasts. The presenter was me, Joanne McNally. Our producer and editor is Callum McRae. From What's the Story, my executive producers are Daryl Brown and Sophie Ellis. At BBC Sounds, the commissioner is Louise Cattenhorn and the assistant commissioner is Lorraine Aquafina. At CBC Podcasts, Sarah Claydon is our producer. Amanda Cox is the cross-promo producer. Evan Agard is the video producer. And the senior manager is Tonya Springer. The executive producers are Chris Oak and Cecil Fernandez. Arif Narani is the director and Leslie Merklinger is the executive director of CBC Podcasts. Similar to the listeners, I've never heard of any of these people, nor have I ever met them, which is strange considering I apparently work for them.
Hi, I'm Phelan Johnson.
And I'm Leah Simone Bowen, and we look at history a bit differently. Have you ever wondered how hundreds of wild horses came to inhabit an island in the Atlantic Ocean?
Or what Lord of the Rings and a small town in Manitoba have in common? Or the burning question, did Canada invent the teen drama?
The Secret Life of Canada is a podcast about the country you know and the stories you don't. New episodes available now wherever you get your podcasts.